Radio Roth, la première chose du matin. Télé Dave, rien d'autre que du yeah. Nothing but yeah.
On that guitar. Go ahead, play the guitar a little longer, Brian. Swing it up. Sounds like he's in the track, doesn't it? Yeah, baby.
Roth Radio. Brian Young on the guitar. Track slapping. One man band. An army of one. A guitarist extraordinaire, Brian Young. Be young, be happy, be free. Be. it sounds like another Afro Sheen commercial. Be happy, be free.
I got an Afro Sheen.
You don't have enough hair for Afro Sheen. Be happy, be free, be the you you need to be. Yeah. On 866-313-3733. New Orleans mayor says that God is mad at us. Most of us talk to God, but some people, God talks back to them.
When he starts talking back, you're in trouble.
This is Mayor, Mayor Ray Nagin, who's an African-American. Mayor Ray suggested Monday that Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, lesbians. is it possible for a Force 5 Gale to... Force 5 Gale, is she still dancing? Mayor Ray Nagin suggested Monday that Hurricanes Katrina and Rita and other storms were a sign that God is mad at America and at black communities, too, for tearing themselves apart with violence and political infighting. Surely God is mad at America, Ray said. He sent us hurricane after hurricane after hurricane, three of them, and it's destroyed and put stress on this company, on this country. Nagin, who is black, said as he and other city leaders marked Martin Luther King Day, surely God does not approve of us in being Iraq either. Hey, while you're talking to God, can you give me a tuna fish on rye with lettuce, pickles, and mustard? Right? That's it. Does he have sugar-free Red Bull, or does God only have sugar? Because sugar doesn't affect God, right? It just affects me and my pancreas. Did God invent type 2 diabetes? It comes in a
McDonald's.
It comes in a cup where I eat. Okay, I shouldn't make fun, but I will. Okay. I don't know what Ray is up to. Surely he doesn't approve of us being in Iraq under false pretenses. So he's just sort of throwing in the laundry list. But surely he is upset at black America, too. We're not taking care of us. Here's the best one. Nagin, who's the mayor of New Orleans, also promised that New Orleans will be a chocolate city again.
That's moving it forward, Ray.
Stop. I just want to think on that. Chocolate love. That sounds chocolate. Animal?
Do it again, Brian.
Go ahead. Be chocolate. Go ahead. Be chocolate.
Oh, chocolate is what you want to be because I'm dark, juicy, and sweet.
Rot every tooth out of your lion head, Robin.
I'm just going to call him Cadbury now.
Fat free and yeah. Loaded with sugar.
Yeah. No, I got a little fat, but I'm trying to get rid of it.
You got to go to New Orleans and work it off, rebuilding Ray's Chocolate City. What do you think?
They won't help me.
Ray is my new hero. Well, he's one of them, behind Tommy Lee.
Okay.
I don't know. It's characters like this that make racial topics so very, very interesting to talk about first thing in the morning, and I'm going to do that with Alyssa. She's from New York. Rachel, well, go ahead, Alyssa. I want to let you articulate this. Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Extraordinary. Right, what's cooking? Right.
Actually, you know, I think it comes down to a common denominator of just integration. If you actually have not so much of cultures moving in and living with each other, but more like, you know what, instead of having just acquaintances, hey, I know a couple of black people. No, you know what? If you actually had a really close friend that was Indian, African-American, Chinese, you actually start to not only learn about their culture, you start to embrace that person, find out what they're really about, and appreciate them. That's where the walls come down. Ray Nagin is actually sitting there talking about his chocolate city. But the funny thing is, ironically, is how when they relocated so many people, a lot of them ended up in areas where they were the only black person in a town of people that have absolutely no exposure.
Okay, and you know what? You're absolutely right. They all went to the Astrodome, right? All of the guests that I was going to have on the show this week and last week died waiting for water at the Astrodome. I'm glad you brought that up.
And it's some of them actually got sent to the, you know, so of course many were separated, but many got sent out to areas in the Midwest. I mean, just, you know, not Texas, but Wisconsin. One area of Colorado, I think there was someone.
So it's like, so you're saying Fresh Prince of Bel Air, but all over the country in Midwest kind of style, right? Now you're talking about integration. And whenever we discuss integration, you're talking about, okay, the diversity of the neighborhood, everybody living kind of together. There's kind of a gumbo, no racial thing intended, but you kind of stir that together and you're all for that, correct?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Do you have a problem with the War College of Maryland that trains all of our officers being right next door to the liberal arts school, say the New York School of Fine Arts or Visual Arts? Do you have a problem with an education facility like the Berklee School of Music being next to the War College that trains our officers?
Not at all. Not at all, because I'm a police officer myself, and you know what, if my academy is next to a fine arts college, that's fine. If it's something regarding terrorism, of course I'm going to be opposed to that.
Something regarding terrorism, I'm sorry?
If it was training that was going to be supporting terrorism, of course I'm not going to be for that, whether it's against our country or any other country.
Okay, so you have a problem with that because you're not going to be able to define. You're trying to qualify it in your own special perspective. What I'm saying here is that the idea that the races can't live together is something way more expansive than just racial here. We're such a fragmented society and we live in complete and total denial. That has become a fetish for this country, okay? And we're talking about, well, the races need to live together, but we can't even come together with the white people living together. We're still struggling with the Village Voice fighting against whatever the latest tome would be that supports the opposing point of view. And nobody lives together. In the neighborhood that I live, complete downtown, you know, below 14th Avenue where the bus doesn't go after dark, and there's nobody in uniform down there. You move off to parts of, say, the Bronx, North Bronx, where I worked, it's nothing but uniforms. Police, fire, paramedic, EMT, et cetera, et cetera. We don't even live together as a white group. How are we going to do this? How are we going to officiate over a hodgepodge of other cultures sitting next to us? Speak to that.
Dave, I don't think it happens overnight. I really don't. It just happens gradually, and you have to take steps to move in that direction.
I think it happens with all the astonishing speed of creeping Dutch elm disease, and I like the way you think. Thank you for calling. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Who do you got here? Frank, there's a racial topic on your mind, and I suspect we're going to hear about it. No. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave.
Frank, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent.
Hey, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, you know, and I grew up in a big Italian family, and there's one thing, we never seen color, you know. You know, my dad always said, you know, just, you know, treat everybody like they're going to treat you, and, you know, I'm about the same age as you guys, but my personal experience, I got a lot of black friends, and I played ball with a lot of guys, but the thing is, in my personal experience, that when things get tough for certain black people, they tend to just lean towards the race thing right away.
Okay, and you think that's particular to just black people, or do white people and Mexicans do it too?
Well, I don't know. I don't know any Mexicans.
Take a wild guess. Take a guess.
I'm just saying, you know, as far as like it's, you know, they start leaning towards like, you know, oh, man, it's my, you know, they didn't want me because I'm black, or, you know, I didn't get this or that. You know, that's my personal experience with them.
Okay.
I mean, with certain black people.
Okay,
not,
and don't
not
don't
all of them.
Don't certain women do that too? You did that to me because I'm a woman. Don't certain
sure.
Jewish people do that too? Don't certain Mexican people do that too? I think it's really popular to point the finger, but you're saying that more black people than average of other ethnicities are using the race card? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I mean, because it's like a product of the environment, I guess, you know, whatever you want to say.
Okay.
I mean, they lean a little bit towards, you try to get, like, in a conversation, lean a little bit towards.
You mean like when Custer show up, all the Indians kind of gathered together? And I think I understand what you're saying. Did you have a bad experience when you were in high school or something, my friend? Seriously.
No.
Did you run into somebody like Animal at a formative phase of your development?
No, man. You know,
because that can change somebody's mind quite radically. Like Animal says, I asked Animal at one point earlier in the week. I said, Animal, have you ever had plastic surgery? And he has said, no, but I have caused some plastic surgery. If that happened to you, that could certainly skew your view. Agreed?
No, that didn't happen to me. But I'm just saying, you know. It just seems that way to me.
Okay. Are you a hockey fan, my friend?
A hockey fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can black people play hockey as well as white people, do you think?
Can they? Yeah. If they played.
So you think it's absolutely equal, that the people are basically equal and that there's just some cultural thing that's divided us, right?
Oh, everybody's equal in my eyes.
Great. Does everybody smell the same?
I don't see color.
Does everybody smell the same?
I don't know.
It's less a loaded question, isn't it? Because maybe as animals, we just don't like the way each other smells. I've read in several different articles now, essays, one of them from Lancet, the British medical magazine, that we're responsive to the way each other smells without knowing it. Okay? For example, I got an article here. I just read this. Oh, let me find that one piece here. Women's armpits. Men dig the smell. Though most men won't admit it, men like the smell of women's armpits. That's what a study at Charles University in Prague found. The study required 42 men to sniff samples of women's armpits. To be clear, the men were attracted to the smell women give off during their most fertile stage, when the odor is least intense. So you're responsive to the way people smell. Okay? Do black people smell the same as white people? Go ahead, you're on.
I don't know.
Animal? This is a legitimate question.
It's a very legitimate question.
You know, like...
give Brian a quick
Well, you
sniff.
Know, like... you know, I hope nobody take this the wrong way, but down south, when a white person's hair got wet in the rain, it really smelled bad.
You know? There you go. And, because you know, I'm going to tell you.
And, you know, like, and then when a black person, you know, he take his shoes off, it really smelled bad, you know. I'm talking about, I would smell black people's feet with their shoes on. Just think of how it would smell if they took their shoes off.
Yeah, but you're talking about when a white person down there, they've got all kinds of Vitalis and Brill Cream and a whole lot of different kind of diet and everything, and that's what you were responding to, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Roth is crazy. I'll tell you what, Roth.
Wow.
Crazy like a fox.
But it only smell like that in the rain, though, you know, and it's wet. I don't know if because of they perspiring and the heat, the hair is hot and in the water hit their head or whatever.
It's an issue.
You know, but don't nobody take that the wrong way, please.
No, but I got to introduce because this is a news item here.
Yeah.
And the next thing that I'm going to say is there's certain people that I can smell that I know that's part of the family. That's cool, especially with women. I can tell within the first 10 seconds there's an old, ancient Hebrew saying that I'm about to make up. when you meet your girlfriend for the first time, within 10 seconds, you know why you will leave her 10 months later.
Well, I was just going to say there comes that point in the relationship where all of a sudden you can't stand that person's smell.
Or their taste. That's right.
And I can't take it anymore.
And it has to do with what you're eating or what you're not eating or what kind of hair care products you're using and all these kinds of things that we put on your skin.
It's chemistry.
Or is it genetic?
When you fall out of love with somebody, they start, it's like, you can't stand their
Maybe
smell.
The chemistry changes and then you fall out of love.
It could be.
You think? Because I will tell you, I can tell you an interesting statistic. I can't pronounce it, but I can say it. The human tongue can taste four different things: sweet, sour, whatever it is, salty, bitter,
salty,
whatever.
And, yeah.
Okay, they did a test again, coming out of Lancet, where they tested the olfactic capacities, the human nose. Average guy in the street can discern between 27 and 2800 different smells and aromas. Okay, blind tested. What is this? Oh, that's a pencil eraser. What's this? That's Robin. Rise and shine. Wake up and smell the rock star. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, Yakima. Don't go away. Or tell you what, you stay here and I'll go away just for one more. What?
Do one more call.
To hell with you. Play a song.
All righty then.
Hit it up.
שם בבוקר, רוץ, שש בבוקר, מאוד קבוע.
Spin it up, man. Supersize it, young. Supersize it, yeah. Live. Swing it, man. Roth Radio, talking race. I got a few more minutes on this one, because this is, the phones have lit up. Oh, man, the phones have lit up. Who do you want to talk to first? You want to talk to a guy or a gal? Okay, let's talk to Mike. Mike, Roth Radio wants to know what you got good to go. You're on.
Hey, Mr. Roth, how you doing?
Swanky. Go ahead.
Actually, I used to work down in Lower Manhattan, NYPD First Precinct. You made a point about the coverage as far as nobody being around at night in Lower Manhattan, but they're around in the Bronx. Is that right?
No. What I'm saying is that generally communities are really polarized from each other. I live in the land of what I call the blue crew cut and the tongue bolt. This is right. This is a page torn right out of Afternoon on MTV2, which is where I live. What I'm saying is there are neighborhoods that are completely the opposite. There are neighborhoods where it's all uniforms. Then there are neighborhoods where it's all just upper class white students. Then there are neighborhoods where it's all just gay. Then there are neighborhoods where it's all just liberal arts professors, etc. But I don't see a whole lot of mixing and matching. Perhaps downtown I do, but no, I don't believe for a second. Obviously, there's a plenty of police presence in these parts of town, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Go ahead and speak to that.
Okay, my understanding was that because of the wealth or non-wealth in the area, there was a presence of uniforms. Actually, it's because of the crime statistics is where you'll see a greater presence in the Bronx. Will be a greater presence than there would be in Lower Manhattan. A lot of nothing goes on in Lower Manhattan, even though there is a skeleton crew, but a good batch of guys working down there.
Oh, yeah, they're a great bunch of guys. Are you kidding? And I wouldn't have it any other way. I love to walk the streets, and I walk the streets whether it's 5 in the morning or happy hour in the afternoon. I would rather ride my bike to work here first thing in the morning, which I do. I do like an Elvis, where I have the limo follow me 2 blocks behind so I don't feel like I'm being followed. And I ride my bike, but you better believe that I'm in support of keeping these neighborhoods right so that everybody can walk around. My point was not that I don't think it's financially motivated at all. I think it's culturally motivated. When you watch MTV now, you don't see the rock and roll mixed with the hip hop, mixed with the uptown and the downtown. You have very specific shows. Here it is for reggaeton in Espanol. Here it is for, wow, now there's even a gay channel that MTV put up. And it's all becoming much more specific, like on the internet. You know, you become more and more knowledgeable about smaller and smaller things till you know everything about nothing at all. That's what being specific means.
The demographic, and you shoot for the target audience, and that's what they're going to capture.
Yeah, and I think that's a disaster, looking for a place to happen. The last Woodstock that happened here, you would have to listen to 7 different radio stations in order to hear every band that was on the stage. The big difference between the first Woodstock back in the 60s and the current version being that you only had one radio station playing. Carlos Santana, along with The Who, along with Richie Havens, along with Otis Redding or whoever else was there. They were all on one channel. That was the great American melting pot that I was sold the idea, at least as a kid. I don't see that happening now. Do you see it happening?
I see a lot more. I see people in general becoming a little more narrow-minded and surrounding themselves with people more like themselves rather than more of a variation or a sampling of the communities around them.
Go ahead, Robin. You got a thought.
Don't you think that that's a product of the internet, though? That we are becoming more and more and more isolated?
I don't think it's the internet. I think it's people themselves. I think it's the individuals. That's our natural thing, right? Dogs hang out with dogs. Cats hang out with cats. It's a very natural thing. And keep in mind that humankind is essentially a violent animal. I don't believe for a second that mankind is basically good. We have to train ourselves to be good. We have to train our children and constantly rehearse it as adults over and over. Because essentially, we're just like chimpanzees and bonobo chimpanzees. We're violent cannibals. Those animals are violent, hostile cannibals. And we struggle against that always. That's why we have schools. That's why we do our sports programs. That's why we teach our kids to read and go to church or whatever your variation of that is. And given our natural thing, I find it very curious that in our current state of affairs, our culture, especially in America, where everything, our culture is like the menu at Katz's Deli. You can't think of something that's not on the menu. And if you say to the average guy in the street, Joe, what would you be if you could be anything at all? I'm a magical genie out of a bottle, and I'll give you one wish. You can be anything you want to be. And you know what Joe's always going to tell me? Almost always, he's going to go, I want to be just like him. And he's going to point to his brother or his cousin or whatever. Most people run to a thing because they see others running to it. Roth Radio, thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Is there anybody who's an outright racist? Can we have somebody on there? I don't think so. Everybody's so very balanced here. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with this show? We only are attracting the well ones today.
You were born and raised in the Midwest. What was the mix like where you were, where you came from?
White, complete white. You know, my grandparents were all Russian. All four, you know, were Eastern Bloc, whatever. And it was a farm community. But we didn't have any immigrant workers at that time. There was no black. There was no anything. That was just like Country Music Channel, man. I grew up out of that. Luckily, I got involved in the busing program when I was just starting junior high school. I went to schools that were 95% black and Spanish speaking. Watch. Wow, I'm going to gang sign something. You know what this is? That's the Mickey Mouse Club. I gang signed it. Oh, yeah, watch. M-I-C. Yo, see this? Right. K-E-Y. Why? Screw y'all, that's why. Oh, yeah, I speak fluent jive, man. So I got a hat full, you know, very early on. Luckily, you know, I have an addictive nature. Anything worth doing is worth overdoing. So when I figured out black music and, you know, Mexican culture and, you know, on and on, you know, that was just like extra, you know, extra side orders that you got with the sandwich, man. I wouldn't have that any other way. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Do you have time for one more call? You got? Okay. I'm going to take a gamble from Dallas, Texas. Al, roll out old Texas skies. What's up, cowboy?
Hey, Dave. First I wanted to say, hey, love your show.
Thank you much.
Really like it. And, you know, I just wanted to comment on that that poll that Animal said that he heard. You know, maybe that is up in the Midwest, but down here it isn't like that at all in the South. You know, I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in a big city, and it just there's a big, you know, equality difference in the way you live down here.
What's the equality? Stop for 1 second, my friend. What is the equality difference where you live? Where are you experiencing as we speak? Go.
So I'm not saying I experience it. I see people around me experience it. And what you talked about, are blacks in the same equality as whites? I don't think so at all. I think there's one barrier that, you know, that has always been here, and that is, you know, religion is preached on, and it says, you know, whatever religion you might be, you know, they say to, you know, love thy brother and you know, do all these things, but yet, you know, when after the door closes on Sunday at church, it's totally different. Monday through Saturday, hey, you know, I don't got to do anything for anybody, just myself.
Okay, so what you're saying is that religion has become a very exclusionary thing. I just thought of something because I was just watching on the TV set Dallas SWAT. You know, they got a reality series for the SWAT team of all my brothers in blue, you know, down in Dallas, Texas, right? And isn't it curious that the group of people back in the 60s, which was supposed to be the most liberal, supposed to be the most flexible, the most accepting culture of all, we used to call the cops pigs. Remember that? Mm-hmm. It was all, you pigs, down with the pigs, down with the pigs. Mm-hmm. And today, the police is probably the most successfully integrated, most accepting group of guys and gals, and all of the blue team is what I call it. You know, I'm an EMT. I lift people. But I've had a considerable amount of experience in the last couple of summers with police, fire, paramedic, you know, EMS, SWAT team. I've been on all the best calls. That we used to think was the most ruinous, most hostile, negative, right-wing, conservative, exclusionary, racist bunch of weenies is now the most successful number one example of how you can make that happen. Interesting how that turns about.
So what do you think that is? What do you think happened?
Well, they do it because they have a common goal. All right? They got a common vision towards what is legit. What's the real thing? What's honorable here? What's the real deal? As opposed to just self-entertainment? What do you think? I can stare at you as long as you stare at me.
I was thinking about that it was our generation that did that. So, in fact, integration is really taking steps forward and is working, but I'm real curious what your answer is to your own question.
The answer is I got the love, baby. I'll illuminate after I finish singing a verse to you, baby. Good subject, huh? Shout out to all the brothers in blue. And their baby girls. Come back. And if you do that, don't go far. And I don't mean metric, baby.
I love you. I love you.
I do, baby.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
В клуб Дэйв. Мы здесь вам позволяем говорить только добро пожаловать. Rough Radio.
got to stop drinking Red Bull for breakfast, man.
Whoa!
Look at my eyes. They're pushing my sunglasses off the front of my skull.
Yeah, you're like some Hex Avery.
Such good stuff. Turn the loop back up. That's good stuff. Play a little solo there, bro. Get a white boy. Yeah. Live in the studio, baby. Back slapping, Brian Young, lead guitar, electrifying. Oh, man. We couldn't afford to bring the whole band. I had to arm wrestle with the guys from CBS just to get rid of all the brown M&Ms, man. I traded them for a case of Red Bull and one guitar player, so I brought Brian Young, be young, baby. Pick it up, get it on, yeah. Yeah. Roth Radio. Before we change the subject... Oh, wait, turn up the loop here a little bit. Tonight on Race Riot. Richard from Jersey, he's an extremist. He's competing for the title. If, in fact, he wins Race Riot Bigoted Fool of the Afternoon, he'll be back next week to compete for the trip for two, the Buick, and the dog food, the free special cruise to Africa. I'm sampling myself. What do you think? This could be a growth industry for me.
Sounds a little dirty.
Ooh. Richard, Roth Radio, we got the spotlight. It's coming out of the Roth helicopter. You're in it. Start the police chase. Go ahead, Richard. You're on.
Morning. I've been enjoying your show.
Thank you much. You're on. Go ahead.
I've got a mixed background. I'm from Boston, and I wanted to say that one of the reasons why integration is becoming more real. Realistic is that...
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Did you hit the wrong phone number?
We got two Richards up there, Dave.
So, Richard, you want to be black. That's what it says on the board here. Is that correct?
No. Actually, I am black, but I'm actually mixed heritage, so I'm part black, part white. Right now, culture has allowed, you know, everybody to see icons in society, sports figures, you know, music figures, and they're currently black, so... It's becoming more acceptable by, you know, all parts of society to be black or to orient to black. It's allowing, you know, parents to accept that not just whites or, you know, Asians or whatever.
So you're saying that it's more acceptable to be black. Is that true?
It's becoming more accepted.
Okay, well, let's see what Richard from Jersey thinks about that. Put on number six there, Hutch. Roth Radio says here you're an extremist, Rich. What's cooking?
Hey, what's going on, Roth?
Go ahead. You got the radio. You're on.
I first just wanted to say that you're one of the most memorable distinctions in rock and roll in all history, as far as I'm concerned. And I know you've got thousands of fans out here waiting for you to research.
Okay, well, this is the very beginning of the great journey. What's on your mind as far as the race issue? Go ahead.
Secondly, you know, as I was telling your screener back there, you know, a lot of it's got to do with the extremists of each culture, those that are, you know, the bad guys that make the good guys look bad. And I believe that applies to all races. You know, you got the guy that don't want to work and the guy that does want to work. And the one that don't want to work makes the one that wants to work look bad.
So you say the blacks in average and are just pretty basic, just like the whites, that there's a small percentage of us, much like myself, who would rather have cheeseburgers and fries for breakfast, drink Budweiser long before happy hour. And we make the rest of it difficult for everybody who's living constructively and actually has a purpose.
Well, if you want to put it that way, I reckon you could put it that way.
That's cool. Where are you calling from, Richard? You sound like a grounded individual.
I'm a truck driver on the Jersey Turnpike, but I'm originally from Worcester, Mass. We've seen many of your shows up there, and now I live in North Carolina, and I'm married to a Southern Belle, so I guess it's rubbing off a little bit.
Give her a big, wet, sloppy French kiss for me. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. I'm going to change the subject here because I brought it up a little bit earlier. I read a study that the human tongue can taste four different things, and it's a combination of those things, sweet, sour, bitter, whatever it is. I don't even remember. I know what you're thinking. Dave, you've been places with your...
God only knows where that tongue has been.
I've been places with my tongue. You wouldn't go with a loaded pistol, white girl. Yeah. You hear that music? You hear that music in the background? That's my surgically implanted disco beat, baby. Give us some guitar, homie. Swing it. DavidLeeRoth.com, The David Lee Roth Show International. We're getting cards and letters and emails from all over. We just got one from London saying, Brian Young is smoking. Okay, they're listening to you, B. Young. Ooh, man. I went to a philosophy lecture a number of years ago, courtesy of Antioch University in Southern California. And the professor was a woman. She stood up, and the very first thing that she said was, on behalf of everybody in this room, I want to make it prohibited for anybody to wear perfume, for anybody to wear hairspray, for anybody to wear big deodorant, for anybody to wear aftershave, cologne, unguents, skin creams, toothpaste, mouthwash. She went down a huge list, and when she was done, everybody stood up and applauded. How many times have you been standing in line at the movie show or sitting at the sushi bar or at a restaurant, okay? You are in a social environment, or you just get into a taxi that had some overly perfumed whatever. The gal Coco Chanel, who invented the fashion house Chanel, had a very very famous saying, and she said it many times. She said, an overly perfumed woman has no future. What do you think, Robin?
I totally agree, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Perfume should be discovered. That you, if you, I hate it. Personally, I don't, I mean, I have a little bit, but I don't use it. I don't even buy, you know, I have to buy unscented stuff. It makes me sick. And to have
why
to stand
would you
in
buy,
line.
Why would you buy
well, you know,
unscented stuff? Why would you buy unscented stuff?
If oh, well, deodorant and things like that. You have to, you know, you're going to sweat. I don't want to sweat.
Pit stop.
Pit stop.
Somehow,
pit
I have
stop.
A feeling you're going to end up sniffing it anyway.
This is something that drives me nuts. I've had to ask girlfriends before, please, baby, these are so much hair care products in there. There's a lot of times when I look at television shows and they're walking up the red carpet, first thing I think is, man, there gotta be a, there's, there must be $300,000 worth of hair care products just walking up that. And that causes my eyes to water. What do you think, Animal? You like a woman with a lot of perfume or not?
No, not too much, because you know, I'm allergic to a lot of perfumes and colognes.
Yeah,
you know,
but
I
ghetto,
have sensitive eyes.
Ghetto Fabulous screams for it. It's like napalm.
Yeah, it does.
You fairly marinate in that. And guys do it, too.
It's yeah, just, I've kind of put on a lot when it's, you know, I'm out there, but I know that you're allergic to it, so I don't, you know, I don't buy cologne no more. Just like when I'm going out with my wife or something, that's the only time I would put it on. I don't even have none with me now.
Yeah, but everybody is dispensing this stuff like crazy. Beyonce has hers. Who,
J-Lo, yeah, everybody's J-Lo. Got it.
Iglesias is selling it, you know, and you have a whole lot of the hip-hop community doing it. You got Jessica Simpson getting in on this, and even the lip gloss and stuff, you can smell it from 12 meters away.
Oh, and you can taste it too. It's like tastes like bubblegum, or it tastes like mango, or
this is interesting stuff, because this is more popular than ever, and I think that if you bring up the subject, most people would rather have it reverted. What do you think, Brian? You like perfume? Do you wear cologne?
No.
Nothing.
Don't care about it. Nah, just
I never have.
Spread.
That was never our generation, is it? Who's using cologne today?
Well, I have to tell you, my husband uses it.
What does he wear?
He wears Creed.
Creed.
Yeah, and it's
what's
good.
The attraction there? What's the attraction to the word Creed?
I don't know. He asked me for some. It was a gift situation, and I said, "What do you want?" And he said, "Why don't you get me some cologne?" And I spent probably 45 minutes in Neiman Marcus sniffing 100 different men's colognes, and you have to sniff coffee beans in between each one to clear your nasal palate.
Yeah. Get out of here,
Robin. I like what you said a second ago when you said that it has to be discovered. Mm-hmm. When it's just a barely, that is good.
Yeah, if it's overwhelming, like it's disgusting.
Well, that's the common thing now. Everywhere you go, people are marinating in this, right?
Especially the strip clubs.
Whoa. Oh, man. Ooh, stripper perfume.
Man, I could smell a girl like 20 yards away, man. I know she around. I'm like, whoa.
Two parts alcohol, three parts nuclear waste.
When you're buying it by the quart, you know you're in trouble.
The good stuff.
I call it overkill.
There used to be a cologne that was great called High Karate.
Oh, yeah,
during the 60s. Do you want to go to a track and then I'll tell the story? No? I'll tell the story now. Because I knew a fellow. I was shooting a Japanese television commercial. And this was a few years ago. And he had said to me, the director, you know, we were having a drink afterwards. And he said, I said to him, how did you start off in advertising? And he said, oh, back in the 60s, I was just a long-haired kid. We were all hippies, you know. And we would sit around in the back room, smoke pot, come up ideas. He said, I worked for a company like McCann Erickson or one of these huge Coca-Cola sized scenarios, and very square, all, you know, gray suits and neckties and, you know, this kind of thing. And the suits came in and they had a very boring kind of cologne. I, you know, call it Creed or whatever. And they said, okay, we'll design a commercial for Creed or whatever it was named, whatever. And he said, Dave, we hated it. It was just square. The idea, you know, the girl coming out of the swimming pool, the James Bond guy reaching out for her. It was so boring. He says, so one day we partied real hard and we made a 16 millimeter film of something we called High Karate. And he said, it starred, and I saw this as a kid, it starred a little Woody Allen kind of character, somebody like Will Hung, you know, William Hung from, you know.
A total nerd.
A total nerd. Mm. And he would go into a bar or a club, and he couldn't get any play. Couldn't get any action, no serious eye contact. SEC, very important, serious eye contact. Couldn't establish any, right? Mm. What's call us now? What are you holding that up for, Dodge? What does that mean?
I was suggesting that people might want to call us on the smell issue.
I'm not done yet. So
I knew that.
See, now you broke my train of thought.
High karate, oh, nerdy William Hung guy.
Right. Yeah, and
couldn't get any SEC.
He couldn't get any serious eye contact, so he'd splash on a little high karate cologne, and he would have to fight the girls off until the entire bar was destroyed.
And didn't he do it like Chuck Norris style, too?
Oh, totally, with karate chops and kicks and everything like that. And he said, Dave, every time it started snowing in New York, we'd start drawing palm trees into the storyboards, and we'd tell you, and he says, they got the commercial made. They showed him the fake commercial, and the suits loved it. So they started doing High Karate cologne. And he said, Dave, when the first snowflake would hit the floor in New York City, we'd start drawing palm trees into the storyboards, and then we'd go to the guys in the suits, and we'd go, well, the next time the nerd puts on High Karate, it happens in Hawaii. And he says, and we'd take a team of 12 people to Hawaii for 2 weeks. He said, we went everywhere over the world. He says, we showed up, we drew a picture of Guinness on a storyboard and said, we're going to London for 2 weeks. I'm going to take a break for 10 minutes here.
Get it out, babe. Swear.
David Lee Roth. Mornings.